Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Tonight we'll continue our Lenten journey looking at the ancient hymn, O Love, How Deep, and how to rightly understand the ministry of angels among God's people. You know, angels are a source of endless fascination and speculation in our world. Our hymn for this season was written in the 15th century, almost 600 years ago. It was a time when it was somehow easier to believe in beings like angels and demons. It was a time when, but even now, we like to believe that there are spiritual beings whose sole purpose it is to serve God and to take care of us. We see angels first appear in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. God places an angel with a flaming sword at the entrance of the Garden of Eden. Angels appear as messengers, as warriors, as guardians, and worshipers and attendants at the throne of God. These biblical angels are not cute and cuddly, like the little precious moments figurines that some of us might have in our houses. They are mighty beings who have been present at every significant event in the life of God's people throughout history. It should not surprise us then that some thought that God would send an angel down to be the Messiah. After all, who could be more powerful, more in tune with God's will than his own created servants, the angels? Of course, the flip side of any discussion of God's holy angels and how God uses them, well, it has to include demons. According to the scriptures, demons are angels who rebelled against God and his divine will. The leader of these fallen angels is Satan. Satan, which means accuser, sits in opposition to everything that God stands for. We heard about Satan in last Sunday's Holy Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4, the account of Jesus in the wilderness being tempted. Just as the angels have been present for so much of God's story, Satan has also been there, lurking and slithering and tempting us away from everything that is good and right and true in this world. So why didn't God use an angel to oppose Satan and to undo his evil reign? We turn our attention to the scriptures and find our answer in the reading from Hebrews 1. And the second stanza of O Love, How Deep sums it up well. We sang this just a moment ago. He sent no angel to our race of higher or lower place, but wore the robe of human frame, and to this world himself he came. To this world himself he came. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the eternal Word, the heir of all things, God in the flesh. It is through Jesus that God created the world. Jesus is the very voice of God in creation, and the whole world created through him. What's more, Hebrews tells us that he is the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. In other words, if you want to know the Father, know the Son. We'd even go a step further and say that the only way to know the Father is through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as Jesus himself says in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. You know, as mighty as God's created angels are, they cannot redeem us from sin. Only the uncreated Son of God can do that. God in the flesh, who suffers and dies for us. So what does it mean then that the Son of God became a little child in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary? Why does that matter so much? Why is it in so many ways at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian? In the words of one early Christian pastor, Gregory Nazianzus, that which he did not assume, he cannot redeem. That which he did not assume, he cannot redeem. In other words, in order for Jesus to save us, body and soul, from sin and death, he had to become one of us, body and soul. We confess this every year in the on Trinity Sunday in the Athanasian Creed. Although he is God and man, he is not two but one Christ. One, however, not by a conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. It's a wonderful mystery. God taking up flesh for us. We have a Savior who is, as the author of Hebrews puts it, a little while lower than the angels. And yet he is also the one who governs all things. He is the Lord of all, and yet also at the same time the servant of all. He is both the greatest and the least. He is fully God and he is fully man. He is the icon, the very image of God's love for the world and God's love for you. What this means for you, dear Christian, is that you have a God who does not simply understand your weaknesses. He does not merely get us, as the Super Bowl ads say. He, in fact, is us. He is tempted just as we are, and yet he is without sin. It is at times like this that we thank God for Jesus, who came to earth in the womb of Mary. We thank God that he took the betrayal into himself and that he wore the robe of human frame. We thank God and we know that he did it all for us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.